Okay, that looks bright enough. So I'm going to give you an overview of what we've been doing in the WLCG Network Throughput Working Group. So these slides were prepared by myself and Marion Bebek for the working group. So the working group was formed back in the fall of 2014, and it's really focused on making sure that we get sufficient information about our networks to understand where there are problems, to find bottlenecks, and to improve the situation when those exist. So historically, it's been very hard to do that because networks span many end-to-end domains. And so this activity is really focused on making sure we get the right information and that we can act on it effectively. So there are really three core activities. There's the deployment and operation of the perfs on our infrastructure that we're using at all our tiered centers for WLCG around the world. There's work that's really recent work on network analytics, really trying to understand what those network metrics can tell us and get as much useful information out of them as possible. And then a separate GIGAS support unit that was created to address any potential network issues. So the primary task is really to do the first level triage to understand if it's really a network problem and to help the end users formulate the right sort of report that will get things addressed very quickly. So our web page is shown at the bottom here. Some news, just a week ago yesterday, we had finally had the release of PerfSonar 4.0. It's a major release. They worked very hard on adding a lot of new features. Everybody who followed our recommendations should have had their instance already updated. So we are recommending that all instances have auto updates on. We understand that that can sometimes break the node, but we'd rather have that happen than have a security issue that goes unaddressed for a while. So some of the specific LHC1, LHC-OPN instances in particular are custom built and may not have that, and so they'll need some manual intervention. In addition, we have a bunch of updates coming because of the release of PerfSonar 4. So within Open Science Grid, we're responsible for gathering all the data and making it available worldwide. So Open Science Grid queries all of the instances around the world, grabs the data, stores it in a local ESMON database, publishes it to an ActiveMQ bus at CERN, and then there are clients downstream that subscribe to that, one of which is Elasticsearch, and I'll talk a little bit about that. There's also a new mesh configuration agent. So we control all of these PerfSonar instances by centrally configuring meshes, which are a set of hosts and a set of tests that those hosts run. And it's a convenient way to organize the testing so that it's relevant for different communities like Atlas, like CMS, LHCB. And we've got some new monitoring now based on ETF. For those of you who don't know, that's the experiments testing framework. We have a PerfSonar specific flavor of that that monitors the PerfSonar services, and I'll talk a little about that. And we have some new analytics capability. Once that data gets into Elasticsearch, we have, at the University of Chicago, a co-located Jupyter host with direct access to Elasticsearch as well as a couple GPUs. And that can be very powerful for looking at the data that we're acquiring. So here's the current map of the PerfSonar deployment. We have 246 active instances as of right now, and as of this morning, 160 were already running 4.0. Now, there's a number of instances that are apparently not set to auto-update. That could be intentional. There were emails sent out before the PerfSonar 4 release that said if your node is underpowered or if you'd like to manually take care of the upgrade process, just turn off auto-updates, and they gave people instructions. So we have a little bit of work to do to go through and get the tail that hasn't automatically updated yet and get everybody on PerfSonar 4.0. The initial deployment was coordinated in 2013-2014 by the WLCG PerfSonar Task Force. And as I mentioned earlier, now the WLCG Network and Transfer Metrics Working Group is taking care of commissioning and maintaining that monitoring infrastructure. So PerfSonar 4.0 focused really on control and stability. As part of this release, we separately finished up a product called the Mesh Config Administrator, and I'll show you a little bit about that in a few slides. There's a new test scheduler that replaces BWCTL and is now capable of scheduling almost everything that the node can do, including future tests. It gives you very fine-grained control over what the testing regime is and it has a nice API where you can actually directly ask the node for what its schedule has been and will be in the future. So you have a lot more understanding of what the node is doing and what it's intending to do. It now supports CentOS 7 and Debian 8. One interesting thing is that 4.0 still supports CentOS 6, Scientific Linux 6, but when 4.1 is released, it will not support that. So they're dropping SLC 6, CentOS 6 support, and that means that everybody who has a Perfsonar node that's running that OS, there is no upgrade path, it's a reinstall. Now there will be a well-described way to save the data and then re-import it once you reinstall the node, but that's going to be a big deal because most of our WLCG deployments are running CentOS 6-based instances. There's a new endpoint selection capability. We have better information about the topology. We have better information about what the nodes themselves are doing. There's a new dashboard out. MADDASH has been augmented with something called MADALERT that analyzes the mesh and can find signatures from the results of the mesh. It can find signatures of various kinds of problems and give you recommendations. There's some new minimum hardware requirements, especially for latency nodes. They do a lot of work, and so now you need to have at least a dual core 2 gigahertz plus on each CPU and 4 gig of RAM. Actually, I would say that if you're a latency node running in one of the big WLCG meshes, you might want to even have some more memory. There's also quite a bit of I/O load, so some very old nodes that have poor disk subsystems tend to suffer a little, so we kind of have to watch for that. In the future, when 4.1 comes out, there'll be some new deployment models planned. There'll be support for VMs, Docker, and small form factor instances. The toolkit now has a lot of information exposed via JSON. So I put one example up here where you can go see what kind of information a 4.0 host provides, and there's lots of good stuff in there. And again, we've updated our testing infrastructure to take advantage of that. So the diagram here shows sort of a high-level view of what's going on. We have network experts and configuration managers up at the top, and they define these meshes that then get queried by all the Perfsonar nodes for their instructions. OSG runs this collector. It also publishes it to the ActiveMQ broker and puts it into a data store and then watches the result of these metrics on a MADDASH instance that we run. And then end users have a lot of ways that they can look at the data. They can see visualizations of it. There's an API to grab the data directly, or they can just publish to the bus and pick the topics that they want to see. It's already being used by Atlas and by LHCb. MCA that I mentioned, this is the mesh config administrator. It imports information about all the Perfsonar nodes. When you install Perfsonar by default, it will register with a global lookup service. So it says, I'm here. Here's my information, and then that can be used to find other instances that you can test to. MCA will query that as a source. We also have other services that can grab things from GawkDB or OIM, if you're an OSG site, and import that into MCA. And then MCA provides a nice GUI that lets you organize meshes and tests. Everything has auto-completion of entry values. All the menu items and entry places are context-dependent. It's very nice and easy to use. There's a RESTful interface, and the API is documented from any instance. You can get to it by just pending API doc. You can filter and create dynamic host groups. So you can create a host group which says, give me all CentOS 6 hosts who are members of the Atlas community, and that can be a host group. And as people bring up new hosts, then they say they're part of Atlas and they're CentOS 6, they'll automatically be included in that group. And this whole platform is now actually being handed off to the Perfsonar developers. So in the future, it will be maintained by them. This is a little bit of what the interface looks like. We have the ability to do much finer grained authorization now. So we can add any set of people who want to manage individual meshes in this system. And it has even a nice little Google Maps plugin that shows all of the entries for this particular mesh that you're looking at. We're monitoring things with, as I mentioned, with a Perfsonar specific version of ETF. There's a Docker instance that we run. I have a version, which is our prototype version, running at AGL tier 2. Our goal here is to really upgrade the OSG instances that are running an older version of OMD and CheckMK. with this. And there are, as you can see, very specific tests for the perfs on our services. And it actually uses a lot of that information that's exposed by the JSON interface on each node. In terms of network analytics, Ilya at the University of Chicago has been leading the effort within Atlas to get lots of information from our network measurements, from FTS, from the R&E network providers, all in one place in Elasticsearch, where we can use it to do interesting things. So primarily, we're grabbing lots of sources of data, making them available. As I mentioned earlier, we do have the Jupyter instance that lets us do Python workbooks, and we can look at the data in many different and complicated ways. This is actually part of the Atlas Analytics platform at this point. And we're using streaming messaging through CERN, and anybody who wants can subscribe to any of the topics that are being pushed on the bus. There's an example of some derived metrics where we did some work to try and estimate link utilization based on the data we're gathering. And if you're interested, you can look at the slides and click on the link. We additionally have gotten LHCOPN and ESNet traffic and summarized NetFlow data, including information on interfaces. So that's all in the same database. Here's an example of looking at the Kibana dashboard for paths, sources, or sites, sources or destination sites that have really large packet loss. So these are sites where the average packet loss to at least half of the hosts they test to was above 2% for more than an hour. And so on the left are plots where these sites are destinations, and on the right is plots where these sites are sources. And so you can see there's still quite a few problems. In fact, about 5% of all of our paths in WLCG have paths with large packet loss, about 2%, at least part of the time during any given week. So there's a lot of problems still to find and stomp out. To help do this, one of the features that has been requested for a long time is the ability to have somebody tell a perf sonar owner when there's a problem that they should look into. So we thought about it for a long time. Networks are complicated. A problem could be anywhere along the path. You don't want to tell everybody on the path because most of the people on the path aren't the source of the problem. So what we've come up with is a way to let people self-subscribe. So they can pick their site or a set of sites that they want to be alerted on, and then they'll get an automated email when certain things happen. Like this is the email that comes out when you have packet loss for a site that you're looking at. So this just happens to be the Tier 2 in Toronto, Canadian Tier 2 site. And it said, you know, the number of paths with packet loss above 2% went from 7 to 0. So that's great. This Oxford site went down from 21 that had a problem down to 1. So we've tried to tune the measurements and the thresholds so this isn't a very chatty, noisy, spam-like interface. I register for all sites in WLCG, and I get maybe 3 or 4 emails a day at most. Some days, only one. So if you're interested, there's links at the end that show how you can go and at least test it out. It's still in beta, and we're still working out some of the details of what gets alerted on what goes in these messages. Another thing that we're doing as part of the working group, of course, is ultimately we would like to improve transfer efficiency. We'd like to improve our ability to utilize the networks. So, you know, a big part of that is responding to tickets and then figuring out where the network problems might exist. This GIGA support unit has a number of them listed. If you're interested, you can go here and see the things that we've been dealing with over the last year or two. There's two example cases that I wanted to show. One is ASGC and one is Triumph SFU. For the ASGC case, this actually is in some sense a failure because the problem was reported by shifters seeing problems with Atlas data transfers. And so this specifically was from ASGC to NDGF, and also we noticed later problems to Brookhaven. We started looking at things and we saw that going from ASGC to anywhere was getting no more than about 500 megabits. And specifically going through Starlight was only 200 megabits. So we started looking at what was going on the ASGC end. We got a network map. We looked at things. It turned out that most of the DTNs, the data transfer nodes, were sitting off from a Cisco N7K. And it turns out that that specific piece of hardware only has 72 megabytes and is shared with 12 ASICs. And that's just really insufficient to be able to support wide area network transfers at high speed. So the solution was to move Persona and the DTNs off the Cisco and connect them instead to the border router above that. Once that was done, we did this reporting way back in May of 2016, and we actually got a factor of more than 10 in throughput right away. So recently we've been seeing 4.4 gigabits per second, and that's a large round trip path. So things improved there significantly. Again, as I mentioned earlier, there's probably lots of locations that have similar problems. There are other implications as well. We probably should have better documentation that list and discuss network architectures and network devices and better advice on how to actually size them and make them appropriate when they're part of a WAN transfer. The Triumph Canadian case is very recent. Over the last couple of months, we've been seeing that on occasion, almost all the Canadian sites have huge packet loss, and it'll last for a few hours and then it goes away. It turns out that was correlated with some routing changes, so the path was changing. And Rolf, who is the Canadian cloud network contact, decided he wanted to look in detail at this, so we got him access to the Jupyter instance. And just a couple days ago, he started putting some code together and looking at it. And he wanted to analyze what was happening. So there's lots of places between Canada and the rest of the world that were seeing problems. He picked Simon Fraser University and Daisy Zuyten as an example. And what he did is, for a specific one-hour window when he saw significant packet loss, he looked at all of the events that we had in the database where either SFU was a source or Daisy was a destination. And then he looked at all the routers that exist between those two. And for every path, every trace route, he classified whether the router was in the good column or the bad column. If there was packet loss, it was in the bad column, and if there was no packet loss or below threshold packet loss, it was in the good column. So we have a column which is good leaving from Canada, good arriving in Zuyten, bad leaving Canada, bad arriving in Zuyten. And one interesting thing that you notice is there is one router where there are no good paths. No test that went through that router was successful. So this guy is actually the source of the problem, and actually Canary is working on figuring out what's wrong. My guess is dirty optics or a failing transponder, but anyway, that was just reported. I think a ticket was opened over the weekend, so hopefully this will be resolved soon. But this is the kind of analysis that you often have to do to help localize things, and because we have measurements of paths going many different ways through the network, this allows us to isolate specific problem locations. So plans for the group, we do have to get ready for the 4.1 release. It's nominally targeted for the fall, and as I mentioned, that's going to require a reinstall for most sites, so that'll be a big thing. We want to make sure that we have the deployment model set, all the documentation set, all ready to go. There's some upstream contributions we'd like to make to PerfSonar. We'd like to have direct publishing to ActiveMQ and Kafka from the PerfSonar instances, so we don't have to have this process that gathers the data. We'd like to have an SNMP pscheduler plugin so we can query devices in the local area networks and get counters and error counters that we put into PerfSonar. In terms of the OSG network measurement platform, our goal here is really to give people a user-friendly interface to the measurement and analytics data. We really want to support the users in identifying problems, being able to easily package them up, having the right information to pursue the problems. In terms of analytics, there's a lot more work to be done on Kibana dashboards. We've been looking a little bit at Grafana for making better time series visualizations. And we'd like to get the NetFlow data that we already get from LHC, OPN, and from summarized from ESNet on additional networks globally into the database. So to summarize, we have a nice working infrastructure in place to monitor and measure our networks. PerfSonar gives us lots of capabilities to understand what's going on in those networks and help debug them. There's a lot of work on new applications underway, especially in the area of notification alerting, predictive capabilities, getting better current utilization information end-to-end, and evaluating network performance of commercial clouds. So OSG and WLCG would welcome feedback. to further improve. And so I guess at this point, I will stop and take any questions. Any questions?
So you mentioned of dirty optics as a dirty reminder that networks are to some extent physical and not just electronic and just, you know, degrade on their own. So if networks spontaneously generate problems quickly enough, are we winning the war? Are we fixing them at the same rate that they're spawning problems, or a slower rate, or a faster rate, or
I would say we have the potential to do much faster finding and fixing of problems than we have been doing. There are problems shown in those packet loss graphs. If you plot 6 months, you'll see recurring things that keep showing up. There are problems that have not been resolved. Part of it is that the working group was waiting to have Persona 4 out before we start issuing tickets to follow up on these. So I think the general answer is, if we start ticketing right now and following up on that, I think we could clean up a lot of it. There's always going to be things that pop up, and it's always going to take, you know, of order a week at least, optimistically. But that's much better than the 18 months we've seen sometimes in the past.
Is it possible to have metrics about how well we're doing? I mean, can we define number of problematic links or something that allows us to say before and after how well we've done?
But the challenge here is actually coming up with the right set of analytics, right? Mm. Because we want to well-define specific types of problems that are actually fairly complicated, and you need these kind of data sources to be able to resolve them. We're plotting things like the number of sites that have more than half of their paths with 2% packet loss, and those are all arbitrary, half the paths, 2%. Mm. But it was relatively high. Like I say, 5% of paths exhibit that over any 1 week in WLCG. And that number should not be 5%. That number should be a tenth of a percent or something. So I think that there's some low-hanging fruit in terms of finding and fixing those right away. Longer term, we're going to need additional metrics. Once we start finding these obvious problems, there are other problems that impact our performance and our use of the network. Okay, any other questions? All right, so let's move on to the next talk.